Hello, welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. This past Sunday, we concluded our series called Under the Hood, where we're talking about how change is hard, but Jesus is able. From 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, it says this, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." You know, when we think about change, oftentimes we focus on changes that needed to be done in our life that are immediate. For example, the number one New Year's resolution has to do with fitness. We look at our life and think, man, I need to be healthier. I need to be physically healthier. I want to be able to exercise and eat right and, you know, get rid of some of that excess belly fat. I mean, these are the things that we typically think of when we think about change in our life. A lot of times we think about our finances, how we want to spend money differently. We want to save more money. We want to put money towards better use. These are the things that we typically think of. We sometimes think about even our spiritual life, like I want to read the Bible more. I want to pray more. These are the things we typically think of in change. But it's interesting because when we think about real change that lasts, it's very rare that we make changes that are that big. You know, you become a parent or you get married or you change jobs or you move to a different city. Those are things that really change your life. But what changes you inside? I think the passage of what Christ is trying to get through to us through Paul is that our purpose and mission in life changes the moment we become a follower of Christ. We typically in life live for ourselves. We want to be happy. It doesn't mean, you know, that we're jerks and we want to hurt other people. It means that we generally look out for our own best interest as a default setting in our life. When we come to Christ, we realize that that desire to live for ourselves oftentimes causes us to sin and literally walk away from God. When we look at that reality, that our sins drives away from God, and then we see that we have no hope, and then we hear the message of hope from the gospel that Jesus is the one who's going to take away our sins, as the passage said, take away our trespasses. That's where we realize, wow, I want that. I want a forgiveness. I want peace with God. So when we surrender our life to God, we surrender our life, we give it away, saying, all right, God, my life is yours now. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I'm going to follow you. That changes the direction of our life. From that natural default of living for ourselves, by the Spirit of God, we now live to, you know, to please God, to honor him. And when that happens, there's this natural tension that happens in our soul where we fight this desire to live for ourselves, but we know in our soul we want to live for God. And that tension is the battle that every believer has to deal with and you know, our hope by the grace of God as we continue to surrender more and more of our life to God. But when we realize the aim is different, the purpose is different, and that's what Paul is getting at. He's saying, look, we are now entrusted with the message of reconciliation. That's the message we've been given. And for some reason, God's plan is to use us, that we are the ones who are to share it. And I heard Dean say that persuaded people persuade people. Meaning that we are so persuaded by the message of the gospel that we can't help but try to persuade others. And I think that's what it comes down to. Do we have to embrace the reality that the gospel is the hope of the world, the hope that people would be made right with the Father? We either believe that or we don't. And an ambassador, which is what Paul is calling us, an ambassador lives for the agenda of someone else. They don't represent themselves and their own agenda, their own desires. They represent someone else's agenda. And what Paul is saying is that we need to embrace the reality that if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, we are, by definition, by our identity, we are ambassadors for Christ, carrying out the message of reconciliation of the gospel. So then how do we get the courage to do that? Again, I think it comes back to, are you persuaded? Do you believe this message is the most powerful message in the world? Do you believe that everyone you know who doesn't know the Lord would benefit and their life would be better, not just their eternity, but their life here would be better just by knowing and loving the Lord? You have to resolve that in your heart. When you resolve that reality, then you pray it out. You start asking God, God, use me. Use my life. Connect me to people who want to know you, or people who don't even know they want to know you, but help me to carry out this message. Father, I pray that we would be good ambassadors for Christ, that you'd help us to resolve in our heart that this message is the message of hope for the world. God, I pray you put us in situations where we have the opportunity to invite people to church, invite people to life group, invite people into our homes, but invite them into knowing you. God, give us the words to share. God, make us shining examples of your incredible message of the gospel. I ask that in your son's name. Just take a second before you finish up here today and just surrender your heart to Christ and ask him to use your life. Till next time, God bless.